Well, there's no time of the year like Christmas. Have you ever noticed all of the odd things that we do around the Christmas season that we don't really do any other time of the year? I mean, we put lights up on our house. How weird is that? I mean, would you put your lights up around your house in July or August or September? No, I mean, it's a Christmas thing, right? And if you decide to leave your lights up around the house all year long, then you're a redneck, right? We do a lot of weird things around Christmas. In fact, I was in Texas this week. I was meeting with a group of pastors, and one of the pastors that was at the meeting was a pastor that, before he met the Lord, was into some gang activity, and he has kind of a wild story about how God moved in his life. And he grew up on the streets in Dallas and was in a gang, and he's got the tattoos and the piercings to prove it. I mean, this is a rough, tough-looking dude. He loves the Lord now. God's done a great work in his life. But he showed up at our meeting with a pumpkin spice latte with cinnamon sprinkles on top, right? I mean, can you imagine that? And all the guys in the room were giving him a really hard time about drinking that pumpkin spice latte with cinnamon sprinkles. But you know what? It's Christmas time. And we do things like that at Christmas time. We wear weird clothes around Christmas. I mean, have you ever thought about all the weird clothes that we wear? I've seen some of the things that you guys wear to church and around the town, and I've seen that, okay? Some of you guys are wearing those Christmas ties, you know, with like Santa Claus on it, and you push the bottom of it, and it plays like a Christmas carol, right? And then you have the matching red and green socks that go with it. You know what I'm talking about? Walmart sold out of those things. I mean, it's amazing. And women don't laugh, because I've seen the things that you guys wear around Christmas. I mean, you wear those puff paint type sweatshirts with like a Mrs. Claus and Rudolph, you know, and the Rudolph's nose lights up and it's all red. It's got like a battery pack that you got to wear with it, and it's got the bells on it, so you jingle everywhere you go. People know when you're coming, you know, down the hallway. And we do that kind of stuff around Christmas time. I mean, isn't it funny, the stuff that we do around Christmas, things that we don't do any other time of the year? You know, Christmas will end in just a few days. But what we can do to maximize this spiritual time of the year, this Christmas season, is found in Luke chapter 2. And so while we're busy having fun and we're drinking pumpkin spice lattes and we're wearing the puff paint sweatshirts and we're doing all that stuff, listen, God has a message for you at Christmas. And so today we want to talk about how we can maximize Christmas. How can we get the very, very most out of the Christmas season? And what does God want to say to our lives? Let me invite you to grab your Bible, if you have one, to Luke chapter 2, verses 8 to 20. There's one underneath your chair if you need one to follow along with. There's also an outline in your worship folder if you'd like to grab that as well. But today we're talking about maximizing Christmas. How can we get the most out of Christmas? Well, the story in Luke chapter 2, we find that there's a group of shepherds. And the shepherds are just spending a regular evening out there in the ancient world, just roasting marshmallows, looking at the stars, tending their flocks. I mean, nothing spectacular or unusual is going on. And then all of a sudden, Shazam, out of nowhere, the angel of the Lord shows up on the scene and delivers a message to these shepherds. They did not know what to think. I mean, they had no idea that an angel from heaven was going to show up and deliver a message about the birth of the Messiah, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. They're blown away by it. They are amazed. And notice in verse 10, what the angel says. Then the angel said to them, "Stop being afraid. Listen, I'm bringing you good news of great joy for all people." Now, if an angel showed up and started talking to you, you'd probably be freaking out too, right? And it's interesting, in many places in Scripture where God delivers a message through an angel, the first thing the angel always says is, "Don't be afraid." Don't be afraid, right? It's because it's probably a really awesome thing to see an angel. And it would probably freak just about all of us out. But you know what? A lot of times fear can be one of the things that gets in the way of what God wants to do and what the Lord wants to teach us and say to us during Christmas. You see, if we're going to maximize Christmas, we have to begin by erasing our troubles and fears. Erase our troubles and fears. Now, the angel came to announce good news. And the shepherds were just watching their sheep. They weren't expecting anything unusual. And yet, this message that the angel gave would change their lives forever. And he begins by just saying, now don't be afraid. I don't know what you're afraid of during this Christmas season. I don't know if it's the economy, if it's the future. You know, sometimes the beginning of a new year is scary. And some of us are thinking about, wow, 2010, what's going to happen in 2010? And we feel apprehensive. We feel glad maybe to finish this year, but we're looking ahead to the new year and we're wondering, wow, what's going to happen? And we're afraid about the economy or our finances or our family. And there's so many things to be afraid of. But listen, when we are gripped by fear, we begin to see the world around us through the lens of fear and phobias, and it distorts our perception of what reality really is and what God is really wanting to do in our lives. And listen, if those shepherds would have been so fearful that they would not have been able to listen to the message that the angel was about to give, they would have missed the greatest news in all of the world. They would have missed it. And I wonder today, if God's communicating a message to you, and maybe you're not receiving it, you're not hearing it, you're not seeing it because fear has gripped your life. The Bible tells us, begin, erase your troubles and fears. Luke 2:10, an angel appeared to the shepherds, and they were terrified, but the angel said, do not be afraid. You know, it's interesting, 365 times in the Bible, the phrase, do not be afraid, or fear not, is mentioned in the Scripture. That's like one for every single day of the year. And I think we need to hear that because oftentimes we are afraid. And we need to hear, man, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. We need that message every single day. And it's all the way through the Bible. Don't be afraid. Now, the reason we can overcome fear is because God has everything under control. I mean, there's not one single thing going on in your life that God doesn't know about. There's not one single thing going on in the world that God's not in control of. I mean, God knew all this stuff. He knew everything that was going to go on today and last week and tomorrow and next year. God has known that. God knows that. And that's why we can trust Him. And that's why we don't have to be consumed by fear. Because God has everything under control and He is sovereign and in control of the world. So when we begin to release our fear, then we begin to take that first step in maximizing Christmas. But you know, the angels went on. The angel went on. He gave another message, or the rest of a message, to the shepherds. And notice what he said in Luke 2, 9 through 11. They were terribly frightened, but the angel reassured them. Don't be afraid, he said. I bring you, and you ought to underline this on your outline, good news of great joy for everyone. The Savior, yes, Messiah, the Lord, has been born tonight in Bethlehem. You see, the second step to maximizing Christmas is expressing tremendous joy. And there was great joy at the announcement of the birth of Jesus. I mean, the angel of the Lord didn't show up and say, hey, I just want to tell you guys something. Yeah, like over there in Bethlehem, Jesus has been born. Just want to kind of let you know. See you later. No, this was huge. This was big, man. This is the greatest news in all the world. The angel shows up and he just says to the shepherds, I want to announce to you good news. Jesus Christ, the Messiah of the world, has been born today in the city of Bethlehem. And the shepherds are going, wow. In fact, the news was so compelling, they got up and they went to see the manger. They went to go see the place where Jesus was born and to pay a visit to the King of Kings, man, there in that shepherd and there in that stable. We had to circle the word on our outline, the word good news, because the word good news is the word gospel. In fact, the Bible uses the word gospel. It means, in the language of the New Testament, good news. Good news. I'll tell you what, man, if there's ever a time that we need good news, it is today. Because everywhere we turn, there is bad news. We turn on the television, there's bad news. There's war. There's people dying. There's sin. There's destruction. Man, I mean, everywhere we look, we open up a magazine, we see the same thing. We listen to the radio, we just see that we live in such a difficult time. There's bad news everywhere. But the good news is that Jesus Christ was born in a stable in the city of Bethlehem to redeem humanity from their sins. And that is good news. And I'll tell you what, that's the reason why people keep coming to the Edge Church. Our church is just a few months old. Many of you know that just a number of weeks ago, we were meeting in a home Bible study. And I believe the reason that new people come every single week to the Edge Church is because we have good news. We have good news. It's not our buildings. It's not our programs. It's not all the other stuff. That's all cool. But it's the good news. And the good news is the best news of all. It's the news that can transform hearts. It can change lives. It can change marriages. It can give us a hope and a future. And listen, that is why Jesus Christ came. So to get the most out of Christmas, we express tremendous joy in the good news. And the good news keeps getting better because the bad news keeps getting worse and worse around us. And that just makes the birth of Jesus all that much more significant and important, doesn't it? And have you discovered the joy of Christmas? God became man that sin could be paid for. I mean, that is something to be excited about. That's something to be joyful about. That's something to rejoice about. And you notice this word that says there, I bring to you good news of great joy. Of great joy. And then it says right after that, for everyone. I mean, isn't it great that Jesus is not a secret savior? I mean, the message of Christmas is not just for a few select people. It's not just for the elite fraternity. It's not just for the members of this club or this organization. But the gospel transcends culture and race and gender and geographical locations. And man, the birth of Christ is for everyone. And this is what the angel announced to the shepherds. I bring you good news of great joy for everyone. Listen, good people, bad people, irreligious people, big sinner people, Santa Claus on a paint puff sweater people, Jesus Christ came for all. He came for everyone. And that's what the season of Christmas is all about, man. It's about expressing tremendous joy, man. We need to smile at Christmas time. And we need to be excited. We need to be thinking about the birth of Christ, man, and what it means. Because this record and the thing that we celebrate during this season, man, is something that has just changed the world. And over 1 billion people will celebrate the birth of Christ during the Christmas season over the next few weeks. Isn't that great? So express tremendous joy. You know, the angels went on and they delivered another statement here to the shepherds, and that was to experience true worship. See, there was joy there, but there was worship. Suddenly, the angel was joined by a vast host of others, the armies of heaven praising God. Give glory to God in the highest heaven and peace on earth to all whom God favors. So the one angel shows up, he delivers this kind of introductory comment, and then all these other angels, they show up, and they're singing, and they're dancing. Glory to God in the highest, peace on earth and goodwill towards men. Wiki, 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 wiki. I mean, it is amazing. People are celebrating. It is exciting. The good news of the birth of Jesus Christ has been announced, and there were people that were worshiping. And listen, worship is expressing our love to God. It's telling God that we love Him. And that was what was going on with these angels, man. Now, I would have loved to have seen the expression on the faces of these shepherds. They thought they were just going to have a normal evening. And then all of a sudden, this huge production shows up. I mean, the angels of heaven are rejoicing and they're singing and they're dancing and they're receiving this good news that's been announced. People are joyful. People are celebrating. And when we worship Jesus Christ, we're expressing our love to God. And we can express our love to God in a number of ways. You know, worship is just not monolithic. Worship can be a variety of contexts. In fact, you know, right after this service, a number of people are going to get baptized. And several of you have already asked me, Ryan, are we baptizing outside? I want to tell you something. No, we're not. We have a portable baptistry right over here in our children's area. So it will be warm, okay? And if you'd like to get baptized, we'll baptize you today as well. But you know, baptism is an act of worship. We're telling God that we love Him when we get baptized. We're also in a season of giving. Many of you know that we've been taking up a special offering at the Edge Church called the Reach Out Offering. The Reach Out Offering is a way for us to worship. And we're asking everybody to give above and beyond their normal tithe to a special offering that helps us build a benevolence fund to help people that are needy in our community. That also helps us buy some equipment for our children's ministry and our student ministry and some other needs that our church has. Listen, that is worship. And at Christmas time, we're all about worshiping. I mean, we are celebrating the birth of Jesus. That's something to be joyful about. That's something to celebrate. The angels were worshiping, and we need to worship. And by the way, all throughout the story of Christmas in the Gospel of Matthew and the Gospel of Luke, worship is taking place. And let me give you a couple of examples. Mary worshiped the Lord in Luke chapter 1. The angel shows up and says, Mary, you're going to have a baby. And she's like, how can that be? I'm a virgin woman. And the angel says, oh, the Holy Spirit's going to come upon you. Mary's like, with God all things are possible. Okay, cool. And she busts out in song. And Mary sings. And she gives worship to God. Now, I'm sure she was scared to death as well. But she began to worship. And the angels worship. And the wise men worship in Matthew 1:11. Remember, the wise men were the ones that brought gifts to Jesus. And their giving was an act of worship. But they began to worship even when they got the good news. And then the shepherds worshiped, as we've read here in Luke chapter 2. In fact, in verse 20, it says even more in more detail the shepherds worship. Simeon and Anna in Luke 2, 28 and 38, they're worshiping the birth of Jesus. Man, worship began to take place all over the place. And if you want to really maximize Christmas, don't miss this. Worship the Messiah. Worship Jesus. And we worship Jesus a lot of ways. I mentioned baptism and giving. You can worship God by just reading the Christmas story. You know, reading Scripture is an act of worship. And I would encourage you to get a Bible. If you don't have one, take one with you today as a free gift from the Edge Church. But read the Christmas story today. And reflect on that and worship God by reading the Scripture. And that's what this time is all about, man. It's about the worship of God and the worship of Jesus Christ. Because if we're going to maximize Christmas, it begins here at the place of worship. And where there is worship, there is transforming faith. There's transforming faith. I mean, you notice the rest of what was said to the shepherds. But the angel reassured them, don't be afraid, he said, I bring you good news of great joy for everyone. Now check this out. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born tonight in Bethlehem, the city of David. And this is how you'll recognize him. You will find a baby lying in a manger, wrapped snugly in strips of clothes. Now you know there's three synonyms that are used for Jesus here. There's three of them. And they're all similar, but they're all a little different. First one, the Savior. The Savior. The Savior is the deliverer. In secular uses in the language of the New Testament, it would refer to a military leader. A Savior is someone that delivers people. And Jesus came to deliver us from our sins. The Messiah means anointed one, or someone that is special, like a high priest. And Jesus was all that. He was the Savior. He was the Messiah. And then he was also the Lord. And the Lord is another word that means like king or owner, ruler, master. And certainly Jesus is that as well. That's why we worship him. But see, transforming faith comes by realizing and recognizing who Jesus really is. And our natural response to him as Lord, Messiah, and Savior is to submit our life to him and to say, Jesus, I want to worship you. I want to serve you. I want you to be in control of my life, not just me trying to do my life my own way and go my own direction. You know, Jesus is the reason for the season, oftentimes we say. You know, the Christian National Religious Broadcasters Analysis looked at 48,000 hours of religious programming in December a few years ago. You know what the conclusion of this study was? They found out that 90% of the programming did not have a significant spiritual theme to it. And that 7% of the programming did not refer to Jesus. So 97% of all of the religious, all of the Christmas season type broadcasts didn't mention anything about Jesus. Only 3% did. And Jesus was only the focus of 3% of the programming. Now, how can you have Christmas without Jesus? Right? His name is even in the Word. You can't take Christ out of Christ Mass, right? Christmas, man. The birth of Jesus Christ. So we can focus on all these other things and miss Christmas and not maximize and not really enjoy and not understand what this whole deal is all about. You know, we can watch Rudolph and Santa and Frosty and Scrooge and the Rainbow Bride and Yogi's Christmas and Homer Simpson's Christmas Special and Carrie Underwood's Christmas Special, and all that's great. But listen, we can't forget about Jesus. He's the deal. And it's our faith in Him that ignites our life. Christmas is a time for transforming faith. And, you know, the first message of Christmas is simply this, man, we matter to God. I mean, do you think that God would have sent His Son, Jesus, to earth if we were not valuable and important to God? No, He wouldn't have bothered with it. Absolutely. And you matter to God. And God knows everything about you. And He cares about you. That's why He's so excited to have a relationship with you. Christmas is all about beginning relationships with Jesus. And by the way, I want to invite you to be at our Christmas Eve service coming up in just a short time on Thursday, the 24th. We're going to have our service right here at 4 o'clock. Have a great time of worship. We're inviting our whole community. We're doing a huge mail out. I want you to come and be here. And by the way, you've got some friends that would not come to church any other time of the year, but they would come at Christmas time if you'd invite them. And there's an invite card in your worship folder that I want to encourage you to take, and not to use that for yourself, but to give it to somebody else, to invite them to come and join you and sit by you at Christmas Eve service on the 24th coming up. Because you matter to God, and your friends matter to God, and God wants to know you. Now listen, if God would have wanted to relate to monkeys, He would have come as an orangutan, right? If God would have wanted to relate to the cows, He would have come as a bull. If God would have wanted to relate to the dogs, He would have come as a Pekingese. But God wanted to relate to you. And so He came as a person. He came as a person, the person of Jesus Christ. Not just some force, not just some nebulous impersonal being in the sky, but God Himself. And that's why the Scripture says, I bring to you good news, and it's for everybody. See, you may be a Catholic or a Jew or a Presbyterian or a Baptist or a Lutheran or whatever else, and yet what Christmas is all about, it's not about your religion. Man, it's about your faith in Christ. A lot of times we get those things mixed up. And we think being a follower of Jesus is about being religious. It's not about being religious, man. It's about being connected in relationship to Him. And God wanted to have a relationship with us. That's why He sent Jesus on the earth, so that the relationship between God and humanity could be restored. It's powerful. See, each of us came here this morning for a different reason. Some of you came because you saw one of our signs out on the road. Others of you came because you got a mail out, or you saw us on the web, or a friend invited you. And you're here. Some of you came because your wife made you come, you know? And you know what? That's okay. We're all here for a reason. God knew that. And we're all here for a reason because God wants to have a relationship with us. Unto you is born a Savior, the Scripture says. And if God had not thought we needed a Savior, then certainly He would not have sent one. But we do need a Savior. We need redemption. We need forgiveness. And ultimately, Christmas is a time for us to meet Christ. Maybe today you'd like to just make that faith commitment and just to ask Christ to come and be the leader and the Lord of your life. You need to come home for Christmas and take and receive the gift of eternity, the gift of eternal life that God is offering you today. Just reach out and receive it. Have you ever thought why we call them the wise men? Well, they were the wise men because they were seekers. And when the angel of the Lord appeared to the wise men, they did like the shepherds. They went to seek out Jesus. And maybe you've come here this morning, you're trying to seek out Jesus. You're trying to figure the Jesus thing out. And you've come here this morning and God's just speaking to your heart. So you need to open your life up to Him and to ask Him to come in and to be the director, the Messiah, the Savior, the Lord, the leader, you know, of your own life. Several years ago, Tyra Banks decided to do an important experiment for her television show. Now, Tyra is a supermodel, is always used to people taking pictures of her and staring at her and, you know, probably drooling over her, I'm sure, in many cases. But in this particular instance, she decided to conduct an experiment for her show. She got a suit that was called a fat suit. And she put the suit on, and the suit made Tyra Banks, the supermodel, look like she weighed 350 pounds. And there were secret video cameras that were following her around. She would get on the bus, and they would be taping. And people would be laughing and snickering at her. People would be rude to her face. People would be rude behind her back. Everywhere she went, they were videotaping the reactions of people. And it was embarrassing. I mean, it was awful. People were so mean. She'd go into a store and knock things over, you know, and people would be all mad at her and frustrated. They even set her up on a blind date, you know, and the guy she was on a date with was rude. And I mean, it was terrible. It was embarrassing. It made an interesting television show, but it was sad and it was difficult. And through the bus rides and the shopping and the blind dates, Banks put herself in the shoes of a large person and experienced their feelings and their hurt and rejection. And you know what? That's exactly what Jesus Christ did. When God sent His Son to earth, He put Himself into human flesh in order that He could experience the same things that we experience. The Bible says He was tempted in every way, and yet He was without sin. You see, we don't serve a Savior that is naive or withdrawn or uninformed. He's been here and done that. He knows exactly how you feel. He knows exactly what you're afraid of. That's why Jesus is the ultimate Savior. We're going to talk more about that next Sunday. Jesus, the ultimate Savior. But guys, listen, Jesus left the comforts and the beauty of heaven to come to earth. Why would God want to come here? I mean, I would think being in heaven would be pretty cool. I mean, you'd have like little angels bringing you little golden dishes with hors d'oeuvres on it and big screen TVs everywhere and life would be good in heaven. Why would Jesus want to come here? Disease, sin, destruction, anger, hostility. Why would He want to get messed with all this stuff? Because He loves you. That's why. Because He loves us. And that's the message of Christmas. The birth of Jesus was the greatest demonstration of Jesus and God's love for us. Isn't that good? Isn't that good? So maybe today you'd like to just invite Him in to be the leader and the Lord of your life. Maybe you'd like to say, man, I want to get on board with where God is leading me today and what Jesus is saying today. And I'd like to just lead us in a prayer of commitment and a prayer of dedication today. And we can all just bow our heads together and pray. And today, if you'd like to invite Christ into your life and really just to be the leader and the Lord of your own existence, you can just repeat after me this prayer silently where you are. Lord, I thank You that You cared enough to send Your Son Jesus. Thank You for the birth of Christ and what it means to be Your follower. Now, Lord, forgive me of my sins. And I'm putting my faith in what Jesus Christ did at the cross and at the resurrection for forgiveness. And now, Lord, help me to walk with You each day. And we pray this in Christ's holy name. Amen.